Our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and it's at the end of that letter, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church at Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in Christ as it is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prissa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was my first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked so hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives and fellow prisoners. They are men of note among the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in Christ. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my relative Herodian. Greet those in Christ who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet the workers in Christ, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet Persis, who has worked hard in Christ. Greet Rufus, eminent in Christ, and also his mother. She's like a mother to me. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the relatives who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I went on a clergy retreat with the UCC clergy from the Southwest Conference about 2 weeks ago at the Redemptorist Retreat Center, a place near Tucson, right next to the Saguaro National Forest. Oh, was it beautiful. It was a Catholic retreat center, so as you can imagine, there were a lot of icons, a lot of pictures of saints around the place, and buildings were dedicated to certain saints. My building was dedicated to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which I thought was appropriate because Lord knows I can use all the help I can get perpetually. Some of the saints listed on the buildings I readily knew, Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. John, St. Matthew. Others were new to me, St. Alphonsus, I had not heard of him. Well, today is our All Saints celebration, a day we remember and celebrate people whom we loved, cherished, and cared for, and who have passed away and are now with God. In my preparations for this Sunday, I started looking up saints, especially names of saints that were unknown to me, ones I'd never heard of. Soon, I came up with a whole list of saints. Now, my list of saints includes real people, real saints, but I've had to speculate and maybe exaggerate a bit as to what made them saint, gave them sainthood. So here's my roll call of my top 10 list of unknown saints. Saint Exuberance. You know, I guess she was very enthusiastic. Saint Vimin of Holywood. Holywood, not to be confused with Hollywood. My top Vimin of Hollywood are a totally different list. Another day, another day. Saint Artaxas of Smyrnium. Any saint that sounds like tax us probably isn't going to be that popular, especially with election only a couple days away. Saint Christina the Astonishing. Sounds like a magician's name, or that she needs to be on that Hollywood list. Saint John the Great Sinner. Finally, a saint I can relate to. St. Vicelin, Apostle of Holstein. Milking that would be utterly ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. St. Rolex, always on time, always stylish. St. Olaf the Thick. Don't call him fat. He's thick, not fat. Thick. St. Chillon of Aubigny. Yep, nothing better than chillin' with chillin'. And finally, my favorite, Our Lady of Knock. Now, why is she my favorite? Well, apparently she daydreamed a lot, and to get her attention, you'd have to go, knock, knock, who's there? You know, she invented a whole line of jokes right there. So that's a list of strange names with my made-up commentary. Sounds a lot like our text today, which is not a joke, but is what the Apostle Paul calls the roll call of the faithful. I've never worshipped in a church in which someone got up and read the roll call on Sunday morning, and the idea of that sounds rather dull to me, but it could be interesting. It could be interesting in a way. Permit me to suggest that calling the roll call isn't always a bad thing. We had two graduation ceremonies this May, Ruthie and Nathan, and at Ruthie's, with a last name starting with W, we could just sit back and relax because they read the names in alphabetical order. And so we sat back and relaxed until they got to the V's, and then we started paying attention. But at the graduation ceremony at NAU, they called names from the College of Science and Mathematics. Several colleges in that group, but they weren't in alphabetical order within their colleges or in any order listed in the program. It was based on when the student checked in at the ceremony. Now Nathan was one of the first ones to check in, so his name was read fairly early in the process. Now, if they're in alphabetical order, it's great if you're an A. You just pay attention for a short bit, and then you can zone out. But they weren't in alphabetical order, and we realized that right away, so we had to listen from the very start. And while we listened, we really listened. The name readers just read the names that the students printed out for them. There was no editing of what the students submitted. So some people listed their middle names as Luke Skywalker. And others listed their names from the Harry Potter series. There was only one Nathan Andrew Whitlock, and he did use his real name. His parents might have killed him if he had not. In this text, the Apostle Paul wasn't just listing names, however. He wasn't making up some made-up story on how they were connected. So how did he know these people? Because obviously there was some real connection. He says, tell this one hello and that one hello. I'm interested in this roll call because it gives a kind of sociological profile of membership of the church. And the more I looked at it, the more I studied it, the group sounds a whole lot like us, you and me. Let me give you the real background on these people. See what you think. See if you can find yourself in this group. There's a husband and wife team, Aquila, the husband, and Prissa, whose name was Priscilla. Paul calls her by her nickname, Prissa. There's a man and his mother, Rufus, and his mom. There's a sister and brother, Nerus, and his sister. There are two guys who aren't biological brothers, Andronicus and Junus. There are two women, Tryphena, Tryphosa. There's an old man, Epinetus. There's a single woman, Mary. There's a single man, Herodian. Okay, I admit that with the exception that it sounds like us, it's not very an interesting list. But for the Apostle Paul, it's not a list. So don't call it a list. He's packing his stuff. He's in the home of Gaius in Corinth, who is the host to Paul and the church in Corinth. And Paul is getting ready to go west. He's about to move to a new parish, one far away, and while he's packing, he comes across some notes and some correspondence, and he sits down amongst the boxes and begins to remember people and situations that bring back laughter and tears and smiles. It's not a list. You who are assembled here aren't just some names on a directory of members and friends and visitors, but are people called together by God for a special purpose, a special mission to be the body of Christ in this hurting world right here, right now. The Apostle Paul would have said, don't call it a list. Aquila and Prissa, they risked their necks for me. Adronicus and Junius, those guys were in jail with me. Mary worked so hard for the church. And Epaphroditus, oh, he was my first convert under my preaching. Tryphena, Tryphosa, oh, close as women can be. Could never tell them apart, but they worked so hard for God. And Rufus, tell Rufus hi. And tell his mom hi, too, because she's like a mom to me. This is not just a list. Have you ever seen the famous list in Washington, D.C.? I went to D.C. years ago, and they didn't have it up then. But Ruthie went there a few years ago with her middle school, and it was up. The workers set it up in a public place, block after block, to form a long wall of names, Vietnam War names. Some looked at it as, it's a list of names. But some slowly walked down the columns. There was a woman who went up and put her finger on a name, who took a child and put the child's hand on a name. There was a man who took out a piece of paper and pencil and stenciled a name. There was a woman who kissed the wall at a name. So many names, there's barely room on the walls of the heart to comprehend. That's not a list. It's much, much more than that. Or have you ever been in a city where those fabric squares, each representing a name, a person, a victim of AIDS, when connected, form that beautiful quilt? That's not a list. It's more than that. These names in Romans 16 are, for Paul, extremely special, because even though he says, say hello to, what he's really saying is goodbye. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going into the nest of hostility. And so at the end of chapter 15, he says to these people, pray with me, agonize with me that I won't be killed in Jerusalem, that the saints will accept the money in Jerusalem, and I'll get to come back and finally be with you again. Please pray. They're not names, just names. They're more than that. This is the time of year when we remember people at the Palms. We remember the saints of the church and in our lives, people who aren't just names. They're not just a list. We remember people who meant so much to us in our lives, people we laughed and cried with, people we were challenged and frustrated by, people who touched our lives intimately and personally, people who gave us so many wonderful moments and glimpses of God's love. We remember the dear people who have died within this community and our circle of friends throughout the years. We've had people in this church experience the death of parents. Many of you have experienced that. Of neighbors, siblings, the death of spouses, the death of a child, and grandchildren. We also remember people within the wide circle of this church who have passed away since our last All Saints celebration in November 2015, and whose families have called upon the clergy here to help during those most difficult of difficult days. Some of the names will be familiar to you, others less so. All have called upon the staff as representatives of the church as representatives of you, as representatives of the body of Christ, to be there for them. For this time, I'd like you to respond out loud after I call a name. I will say, "We remember," and then I will mention a name. I'd like you to respond, "We remember with you." And so we remember Wilma Berry. We remember with you. We remember Eloise Buckman. We remember. We remember Earlene Callahan. We remember Connie Carson. We remember Jim Chaffee. We remember Jeanette Datesman. We remember Bob Duderstadt. We remember Frida Ganther. We remember Glenn Gillis. We remember Peg Gruber. We remember with you. We remember Glenna Harmont. We remember with you. We remember Mel Hoffer. We remember Sarah Jackson. We remember Barbara Jacobson. We remember John Jensen. We remember Jack Joyce. We remember Nancy Klein. We remember Ruth Leslie. We remember with you. We remember Norma Sharp. We remember Kurt Steinberg. We remember Harold Thiedemann. We remember Elizabeth Workin. And we didn't have a picture of Helen Ernest, but we remember Helen Ernest. You were handed many pieces of paper in your bulletin this morning. I'd like you to look at the insert, the paper that says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." It's just one sentence on it. It says, "I thank my God for all my remembrance of you." That's a phrase the Apostle Paul uses over and over and over again in his letters. "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." He uses it in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in Philippians, in Colossians, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and in Philemon. If we can connect any Paul with any phrase, it just might be that. "I thank my God for all my remembrances of you." With 1 Thessalonians being the oldest New Testament document we have, and this being the first concept and thought of that letter, it's the earliest communication point in the New Testament we have written down. Now, on the back side of that paper is a wonderful composition that the Poet Laureate of the United States wrote in 2001, right after 9/11. It's a powerful piece, and I wanted to share it with you. "I thank my God for all my remembrances of you." Now, before you leave today, would you write a name on that paper that says, "I thank my God and all my remembrances of you"? Right here, right now, write a name. Do it during the sermon. Do it during communion, our fellowship hour after church. Just do it. It may be a relative. It may be a mentor. Someone who picked you up when you were down, living or dead. Anyone who fits the phrase for you, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." You won't have to share this with anyone you don't want to. Keep it as private or as public as you want. You choose the name, you remember the name, and then write another name, and then write another, and another, and another. Can you come up with your top 10 list? If you have to share pencils or pens, do so. Who are the folks for whom that phrase fits? "I thank my God in all my remembrances of you." Jot that name down. Write them down. Keep that list. Keep that list because to you it's not a list. In fact, next time you move, keep it with you. You may have to leave everything behind, your car, your furniture, your computer, your mother-in-law, or anything else in the move, but take those names with you. In fact, when your ministry is ended and you leave this earth, take it with you. Take it with me. Take it with you. I know, when you get to the gate, St. Peter's going to say, now look, you went into the world with nothing. You got to come out of it with nothing. What have you got there? Well, and you say, well, it's just some names. Well, let me see it. Well, it's just some names of folks I worked with, names of people who helped me. Well, let me see it. Well, it's just a group of people that if it weren't for them, I would have never made it. Let me see it. And he takes it and he looks and he says, oh, I know all of them. In fact, on my way to the gate, I passed some of these folks in that group. They were painting a big sign, a banner to hang over the whole street just for you. And it says, welcome home. Wilma, Eloise, Erlene, Connie, Jim, Jeanette, Bob, Helen, Frida, Glenn, Peg, Glenna, Mel, Sarah, Barbara, John, Jack, Nancy, Ruth, Norma, Kurt, Harold, and Elizabeth, welcome home. Thanks be to God.